It's good to see all of you this morning. Hope you had a wonderful and terrific Thanksgiving in every way, whether you were here or whether you were there and whoever you were with. And you may be glad to be home if you were somewhere. But hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you didn't gain as much weight as I did. And you've all made it back here today. So that's a good thing. I want to take just a few minutes to go over some announcements and schedule notes for the upcoming week and the few minutes we have before we transition into worship. You'll see on the back of your order of worship a full schedule for this week. Notice that tonight there will be no youth activities other than youth choir at 4:30. So note for the youth there. We will be back to our regular schedule on Wednesday night. We did not have regular schedule this past Wednesday night because we had our Thanksgiving Eve service. We'll be back to our regular schedule this Wednesday night. And also note that book club is on schedule this week for a meeting tomorrow at 7 and then Thursday at 10 as well. Next Sunday is Children's Sunday, and the children are going to be leading us in worship both in the recreation service at 9 o'clock in Smith Hall as well as for the 11 o'clock service in here. And that's going to be a special time for our children and one that you will not want to miss. Also, a note about today, we've had several work sessions at the home of Marion and Wallace Eshelman, and we'll have another session today at 1 o'clock. If you can come and join us, it's at 30 Stanton Drive, which is right down Ransom Road. And anyone that has a digital camera that will be willing to bring that part of the work. This is Marion is a friend of ours and a member of our church family who lost her home in a fire 2 weeks ago this weekend. And part of the challenge for Marion right now is documenting the contents of the house. And so if you have a digital camera that you can bring and help document those items, that will be very helpful. We have an announcement from our youth.
Hey, I'm Ashton.
I'm Brooke.
Pig on the pig.
Hey, Brooke, why do you think they're wearing pig t-shirts?
Well, Ashton, it's probably because we're having a barbecue coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's on the 10th, right?
That it is, Ashton.
What time is it at?
It's at 4 o'clock to 7:30.
I think I'm free.
Good. The tickets cost $8, and a family pack costs $32. And you can get a pork butt for $45.
I will definitely be buying tickets.
Good. It's for our mission trip to Jamaica over spring break.
Cool.
Yeah. So you can find me and Ashton after church if you want to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Or Trey.
Thank you. All right.
It's hard to know where to go after that. The end of Thanksgiving and the beginning of Advent for our college students means that it's exam time. Exam week for most of our schools is beginning next week. So Jeff will be making his twice a year exam pack run to see our college students beginning early next week. So if you would like to and are able to make some items to go in the exam pack, some individually wrapped items, you can donate any number you want to, up to 50. And bring those to church anytime this week through next Sunday and put those in the kitchen down below the sanctuary. That would be very helpful. I want to say a special word of welcome to our guests, anybody that may be joining us today. Our ushers are going to head back up the aisles, and as they do, if you would, if you're a first-time guest here, just raise your hand high enough for them to see. We've got some information that we'd like to share with you, including a letter from our pastor and some other information about what's going on in the life of College Park right now and our missions and ministries and fellowship opportunities. But whatever brought you here today, we're glad you're here, and we hope that you find this a warm and inviting, friendly place. But most of all, we hope that you find this a meaningful place for you to worship this morning. This Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Thanksgiving is past, and it's time for us to look forward to Christmas and the season of Advent, the season of Jesus' birth. And as we begin our Advent celebration. I would like to welcome Jim, Leanne, and Whitney Purnell as they will light the hope candle for us.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness.
In Romans 15:4-13, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him." May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, let us light the candle of hope.
Our God, you are worthy. You're worthy of our praise. Lord, you're worthy of our offerings. You're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our talents. Lord, you are worthy of all that we are and all that we have. And Lord, all that we hope to be is in you. Lord, as we come and we worship this morning, Lord, and we know that you are in this place with us, Lord, we wait in anticipation to hear your voice. Lord, we wait for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come now, Lord, and set the tree. I want to invite all the children, if they would, come down for just a couple of minutes down here. Come on up. How are you? I like your shoes. Those are nice. They're pink. I like your shoes, too. They're black, aren't they? I'm a pretty sharp guy. Yeah. All right. Well, how many of you had your little turkey candles? How many of you lit them on Thanksgiving? Did you? All right. Did you think about how thankful you were? Good. Good deal. If your mom lost yours, I'll give you another one. That's okay. Did you notice they lit a candle up here just a minute ago? What was it the candle of? Do you remember?
Hope.
The candle of hope. That's right. And we're getting ready to start 4 weeks of what they call Advent. And Advent is when we look forward to Jesus' coming. And this year, Christmas is actually on a Sunday. So we'll have 4 Sundays of Advent, and then we'll have Christmas Day. And it'll be on a Sunday too. So this week is hope, and we're talking about hope. What is hope? Have you ever thought about what hope is? When you say... Okay. All right. What do you hope for? I know 16-year-olds hope that they get a car, and the rest of the city hopes they don't. That's right. A new house. That's right. Think. So what does hope mean? Let me give you a definition. I looked this up, and it says hope is to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment, or it's to have confidence or trust that something will happen. To look forward to with confidence or expectation. To expect or desire. A wish or desire accompanied by a confident expectation of its fulfillment. So when we say we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Advent, and we talk about hope, who is our hope in?
God.
Yeah, it's in Jesus. It's in God. Our hope is in Jesus because He came as a baby, but more importantly, He conquered death. And He said, look, you know, if you'll trust in me, then you can live eternally with me. That's a pretty good thing to hope for, isn't it, sweetheart?
Uh-huh.
It's a good thing to hope for. All right? So when you think about the candle next week, when you say we light the candle of hope and then they'll have another candle, just remember the best thing to hope in is in Jesus Christ. Okay? So you remember that during Advent?
Right.
That's exactly right. It sure is. Let's pray together and ask for Jesus to help us, okay? Dear Father, we thank you for this day, and we pray that Jesus would help us to live more as people who live in hope, that we expect good things to happen in our lives, and that we trust completely in you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Y'all have a seat now.
In the Advent reading, we've heard from Jeremiah and from Romans, and as we continue with our scripture reading from this morning, we'll be in the book of Psalms and the 80th Psalm. As you see printed in your order of worship, we'll read the first seven verses and then continue at verse 17. From Psalm 80. Hear us, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. O Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. The Son of Man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. Lord, thank you for those beautiful and meaningful words from the psalm. Words that on this Sunday of hope, this first Sunday of Advent, really express an important message for us in our lives and our relationship with you. Dear God, thank you for the last week and the many blessings, the opportunity to take some time from our schedule and to spend it with family and loved ones, to spend it counting some of the blessings that we owe to you and counting the ways that you have blessed our lives. Not just in physical ways, not just with material things, but with the gift of love, the gift of family, the gift of the way that you've blessed us through other people, the way that you've blessed us through the years, and the way that you're blessing us right now. Lord, as we turn our calendars toward December, as we look ahead, as we begin this new Advent season, how appropriate it is that we begin by lighting the hope candle and giving thanks for the hope in our lives that we have through you. Lord, for those of us who are hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, grant us hope. Help us to see you in our lives each day. Help us to know that you are there and to reach out to you and to sense optimism and promise through that hope that you have to share with us. Lord, even if our day is dark, even if something comes about that we were not expecting, and we certainly do not want, help us to have hope. Help us to have hope in you and take hold of the promises that you have made for us, that you are here for us each and every day, that you will love us, and that you will not leave us. Lord, we have great hope because of you. We pray for hope in our own lives. We pray for hope in the lives of others who are hurting in different ways. We pray for hope in the lives of people that do not know you, and whether they are right down the street or at the opposite end of the earth, that the light of Jesus Christ may find its way to them and that they may share the kind of hope that we are so fortunate to know. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we, your people, may be saved. Revive us, so that we will call on your name to take hold of this hope and to live in a way that shows this hope each and every day. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you as good stewards of the time and the talents and the treasures that you've blessed us with. As we take time to give back to you, Lord, we pray that you will use these gifts for great things in your kingdom and great things for ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
So are you ready for Christmas? They're like, are you crazy? Are you ready for Christmas? Me personally, now that you kind of allowed me my rant about Thanksgiving in the newsletter a couple weeks ago, I've kind of gotten over that. I haven't gotten over it, but I've moved on, I guess I should say. But if you haven't read the rant, it was basically just talking about the fact that consumerism is dependent on us not being thankful. So it's kind of ingrained in us not to be thankful, so that we want the next best thing or this, that, or the other. So that was kind of my rant, and thank you for your patience and tolerance and allow me to do that. But having all said all that and kind of deciding to move on, I'm ready for Advent. I really am. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and we light the candle of hope, and I really am hopeful that this is going to be just a wonderful Advent season as we begin our journey to the manger. You know, in Lent, we talk about our journey to the cross, and at Christmas time, in Advent, we talk about our journey to the manger. And let me just say this, that in Advent, you will notice we don't sing a lot of Christmas carols as we start Advent, because Christmas is not here yet. I know other churches may do that, but we try to celebrate the full extent of the season. We want to anticipate the coming of the Christ child. And I know that it's really hard to separate the baby Jesus from the hope that we have in the crucified Christ. Let me acknowledge that. I know it's hard because we know that the baby Jesus came. Jesus came as a baby to show us how to live, but also to offer hope through his death and resurrection. So we understand all of that. So as we worship together, just because we don't sing Christmas hymns or because we don't do this or do that or the other, doesn't mean we don't acknowledge that. We just want to fully celebrate the whole season. And to anticipate, you know, the Christ that came to offer us hope, you know, and so just understand that we began a journey to a manger, and we began that today. You know, despite all you want to hear, though, you know, you hear about newspapers and how they're struggling to get advertising and all that. And then you'll go get your newspaper today, and when you open it, you'll have a stack of sale papers that'll fall out about this high. You know, they'll be all over your house, and there's just this corruption, if you will, of the spirit of Advent and Christmas, and it comes from, unfortunately, kind of this whole commercial aspect. This past weekend, I had enjoyed time with my grandmama. My grandmama's 93 years old, and so we got to see grandma and celebrate Thanksgiving with her. And then Thursday night, in Pigeon Forge, the Tanger outlets opened at 10 o'clock. Well, what were we thinking? But we went anyway. We went to the Tanger outlets, and Carson and I, by about 11, we were all out of fun. So we came back to the motel. The girls stayed there. And while we were sitting there watching TV, there was an ad that came on, and I'm not going to mention the company because you'll probably see it if you watch any TV at all. But there was an ad that came up, and it flashed across all this stuff, and then it closed with its slogan. Evidently, it's slogan for the season. And in big letters, it says, "More Christmas for your money." I looked at Carson, I said, "Do you have a problem with that? I mean, more Christmas for your money?" And he kind of rolled his eyes and said, "Yeah." I said, "Have we missed the whole point? Have we missed it completely when we reduce Christmas to more Christmas for your money?" You know, this month is going to bring a lot of stuff. It's going to bring a lot of moods. It's going to bring a lot of attitudes. It will trigger hope. It will immerse us in memories. It will flood us with sentimentality. And for some of us, this coming season, this Christmas season, this Advent will be painful. I acknowledge that. It may be the first time that you've celebrated the season without a loved one who'd passed away this year. It may be that you are celebrating this Advent season with someone that you know probably won't be here next Christmas, or may not even make it till this Christmas. So there's a lot of anxiety that comes with the season as well. And I want to offer this to you. We purchased some things called care notes. You'll find those at the Welcome Center. There's a big display there. It says care notes on them. And it deals with how to get through some of these really stressful times during the holiday season. And I want to invite you to, if you want to drop by and look at those, they'll be there today. And then next week, we'll move them down to the mezzanine level, down on basement one level in the information lobby there. But we'll move them down there. So look at those. And if you have trouble, if you're having trouble this holiday season, dealing with some of the stresses and things you're thinking about in terms of relationships, read those notes there. And if that really doesn't address and you need to talk, call one of us in the church office. We'd be glad to talk with you because we want to celebrate together. We want to get ready. We want to spend the coming weeks getting ready to celebrate Christmas together. So with all that in mind, with all that as a very elaborate introduction, I want to get to the lectionary reading for this day, the first Sunday of Advent. And we didn't print it in there, because we figured some people will come in and they look at the scripture passage that's printed and they go, "That's got to be a misprint. Preacher's lost his mind. That's got to be a misprint." And it really isn't. I'll tell you what the passage is. You can take your Bible and join me. It's Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And I'll be reading verses 24 through 37. Mark 13, 24 through 37. If you look back at the beginning of Mark chapter 13, you see a lot of times they have little headings for the passage of Scripture that follows. And the NIV, in my Bible, it has signs of the end of the age. And you're going, he really has lost his mind. I haven't, but the people maybe that designed the lectionary, perhaps they have. But anyway, we'll begin reading in verse 24, and then we'll try to bring sense out of all this. Verse 24 and following. "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Watch. It's a strange passage for Advent, isn't it? As I read it, I thought, well, maybe not as strange as we may think. You know, we kind of like the feel-good passages, you know, and we've had some of those passages read already, talk about our hope in Jesus. But as we've already said, it's hard to separate the coming of the Christ child from the hope that we have in the death and resurrection and the hope that we have in that he is coming back. This is not the end of the story. There is a future out there, and Jesus is setting the stage for it. And amidst all of this Christmas commerce and fantasy, the New Testament reminds us of the hope that's at the root of all this frenzied activity. You know, and in the passage that we just read, Mark himself, writing amid violent, brutal, desperate circumstances, assures us from the words of Christ that we still live in the promise of a new age. Something better is coming. And Mark proclaims to us that though we may suffer the threats of war, economic troubles, though we may undergo the grief of dreams gone awry or relationships that have gone sour, love that's gone down the drain, whatever it may be, we still live in the confidence of something better, a new age, a new world that's coming, a human community that's rooted and grounded in healing and reconciliation and peace. Indeed, in the New Testament, we find affirmation that we not only look forward to a healed world, but also that in the birth of Jesus Christ, the first taste, the green shoots, to use the metaphor of the shoots that's in the passage, the green shoots of our anticipation, the whiff of what we might call God's Christmas world, all of that begins to sneak in among us. And I hope that you believe that. I hope you believe in the power of hope in the coming Christ. Do you trust the promise of the new world that the anticipated Christ child brings with it? For some of us, it may be difficult. As we've already said, you know, Advent, the days of the holidays, quote unquote, can bring as much cynicism as it does hope. At this time of year, perhaps more than any other time, we begin to recognize, too, the disparity. You know, the vast chasm that's there between the way that we run the world and the way that God meant for the world to be. You see the faces of the poor. You see the faces of the hungry. You see the tragedy of dissolving families. You see the isolated elderly. You see the threats to our livelihood and our future from a precarious economy worldwide as well as within our own country. You see the terrible divisions and the hatred that's fueled by nationalism, greed, religion. And you see this specter of armies constantly at war with one another all around the globe. You know, and all of this just seems somewhat grotesque in contrast to the brilliant light that's thrown by the Advent, by the Christmas promise. I don't know, but yet, we gather here this morning not as a community of despair, you know, not as a gang of cynics, not a company of the forlorn about the future, because we gather at Advent as a community of hope. Come war or recession, we know joy, we know peace, we know love, we know hope. All of these things that are related to the Christmas promise. So Mark insists, get ready. Get ready for that new age of grace and reconciliation by doing the deeds of Christmas right now. Doing the deeds of Christmas, those deeds that have absolutely nothing to do with more Christmas for your money. Because that new world is coming. The new world is coming, he promises. And he says, live every moment, live every day as an opportunity for the breakthrough of Christmas. Live every moment, every day as a chance for the Christmas world to break through. and obeying the words of Jesus as recorded by Mark, how should we then get ready for Christmas? That's the title of the sermon. Help us out here, preacher. How do we get ready for Christmas? I think there's at least a couple ways. Let me offer those to you. A couple of suggestions. The first way I think we can get ready for Christmas lies inevitably in a decisive ethical tilt. Desmond Tutu offers us a reminder. He writes this. Interesting insight. He says, the heart of the gospel is precisely that God, the all-holy one, the all-powerful one, is also the one full of mercy and compassion. He's not a neutral God inhabiting some inaccessible Mount Olympus. He is a God who cares about his children and cares enormously for the weak, the poor, the naked, the downtrodden, the despised. He takes their side not because they are good, since many of them are demonstrably not so. He takes their side because he's that kind of God, and they have no one else to champion them. Wow. We get ready for Christmas by striving to live by the convictions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live. And he didn't live his life as most would have expected a king, the King of Kings, to live. He just didn't. And secondly, the second way maybe that we can get ready for Christmas, maybe is on a more personal, a more intimate level. Getting ready for Christmas means accepting and offering the surprises of love. You say, what is that? Well, I think it means opening ourselves up to the oblique and the joyful possibilities of life. Mark says, get ready. Get ready for a surprise. Don't be caught surprised. Get ready for surprises. You know, 2,000 years ago, God surprised us. If you don't believe me, ask the shepherds. We get to heaven, ask the shepherds. They were surprised. The people of Bethlehem, they were surprised. It was a surprise that is beyond all expectation. That God became flesh. He dwelt among us. In his death and resurrection, we're offered hope. Hope in the eternal kingdom that is to come. That is the surprise he gave us 2,000 years ago. And we begin to celebrate this year. So what do? How do we offer that surprise of hope? We live out as our Savior lived. We offer the surprise of hope to everyone that we come in the deeds of Christmas that we offer ourselves in service to other people. You see, with the surprise of 2,000 years ago, God gave us hope. Hope when we didn't deserve it. Hope when we could possibly not earn it. Hope that even when the world seems darkest, the light of God's hope shines even brighter. Even brighter. So friends, on this, the first day, the first Sunday of Advent, are you getting ready for Christmas? I hope that you are. Be prepared to stand for all the hope in God's creation. Live it out in your lives. To hope and yes, to serve as a messenger of loving surprises to others. Allowing your kindness as you ramble and as you wait, as you watch, as you make ready for the breaking in of God's Christmas world. O come, Emmanuel. God with us, then as now. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we know that through your presence, through your gift of your Son, Jesus, that we are offered hope. And we understand that with our head, and sometimes we understand it with our heart, but we get confused in our head because of all the distractions, the fear that people want to place in us, the hopelessness that others would want to place in our lives. Father, help us to set all of that aside, to understand that the circumstances of this world, that you understand all of it, that you're still in control, and that you offer hope even in times when it seems hopeless. God, allow us the grace to embrace that sense of hope and what it really means for our lives. And then as we do that, that we could extend that same hope to others. That we could offer those surprises of love to others that desperately need it. God, we pray for your strength, for your wisdom, for your peace, and hope, and joy, and love as we look forward to this Advent season. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to challenge you, if you're not a believer, we've been talking a lot about hope. Apart from Jesus Christ, I can tell you there is no hope. Because anything else you place your hope in is temporary. And it's only through the love of God expressed in His Son that we have eternal hope. So understand that. I love you. I want to tell you the truth, and that is the truth. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, this is your day. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'd be glad to talk with you during the hymn or following the service or this week sometime. Call me. I'd love to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a believer, but man, I've really got caught up in all the other stuff surrounding Christmas, and I've kind of lost track of where I'm really supposed to be. This is certainly a good day to kind of refocus. Say, God, help me. Help me to dial back in and what Christmas is all about, what Advent is all about. And you can do that where you're standing, or you're certainly welcome to come kneel and pray here and talk with God, or I'll be glad to talk with you if you'd like that as well, whatever your wish is. And if you're here this morning and you want to be a part of this fellowship, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever God lays on your heart, be responsive, be obedient to Him as we stand and sing together now. Challenge you following the benediction and the response to greet one another. Be sure and greet our guest and tell them that this is obviously the best church in the whole community, maybe the state, perhaps the nation or the world. Okay, so be sure and welcome the guests that are with us this morning. I hope that as you go from this place that you really will sense the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and that will be expressed on your face and through your actions. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this chance to be together in your presence, God, and to learn from you, to rest in you, but Father, to be inspired by you to live as Christ would have us to live. God, we love you, and we pray that our actions as well as our deeds will express that this week. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.